Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nido Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 13 lines from the top. You will notice a diamond that appears in the middle of the line with a Roman numeral number one to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. A few lines later, a Roman numeral number two will appear. These diamonds signify cases of hapola, of miscarriage of creatures or things, and the question that will preoccupy the Gemara is, does the miscarriage of these different things result in a situation of tumas leda for the mother? Is she considered a yoledes or not? Itmar hamapeles mi sheponov musmosim. A woman miscarries a thing that has a face that's somewhat flattened or mashed in. The expression in Hebrew is meuchim ktsas, as you will see in the Rashi. It's partially flattened. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Imoy Temeya. Rabbi Yochanan says that this constitutes a birth, and accompanying that comes the rules of ritual impurity characteristic of a birth. Reish Lakish Omar Imoy Tehoira. Reish Lakish says that the miscarriage of such an offspring does not result in Tumas Leda. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan raises an objection from the following source. And it's not really so much as what you see in the source, but it's more of what you don't see in the source, which will be the basis of Rabbi Yochanan's question. So the source reads, Hamapeles yad chatucha v'regel chatucha. If a woman miscarries a hand that is formed, chatucha means it's formed, it has fingers on it, or a foot that is formed with its fingers or toes. Imo Tamea Leda, the mother will be labeled as, or has to observe the rules of Tuma, as this is considered a birth. The Ein Choshishin Shemo Miguf Otum Basa. And we don't take into consideration that it comes from that which we call a Guf Otum. A Guf Otum is that kind of birth that would not have resulted in Tumas Leda, but we don't consider that. The Im Isa, if it's so that Ponov Musmosim is a basis of Tahara, listening, then this source should have said that we're not going to consider that the hand form that she miscarried comes from Shemo Miguf Otum O Mimi Sheponov Musmosim. That should have been included in this teaching. So since no mention of Ponov Musmosim is mentioned, apparently it would not be the basis of Tahara. Therefore, we have what is a Kasha on Reish Lakish. Omar of Popi. You can see we've squiggle underlined his name because in our marking system, the squiggle underline very often represents a transition or a change or a different version. So this is now Rav Popi's presentation. He says, "Befonav musmusin kuliyamo lepligi de tmeo." Everyone will agree that if it's a vlad, an offspring with a partially flattened face, so the mother will be tmeo later. Even Reish Lakish agrees with that. Ki pligi befonav tuchos. The machlokis will arise when you have something that's pun of tuchos, and Rashi says this is more meuchin than the musmasin level. It's more flattened out, or lack of form on the face of this offspring. Where ein suras ponov nikra kla, where there's no facial form on this offspring. So as far as Rav Poppy is concerned, ponov musmasin, which is a partial flattening of the face, there is certainly tumas leda. Keep ligi, but ponov tuchos, where there is a complete loss of facial features, this is going to be the point of machlekes. The ipcha ipmar, and the tradition on these shitas of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is in the opposite form, namely Rabbi Yochanan before represented in the first version a loshon of tuma, or a shita, a stance, a saying tuma. Rabbi Yochanan here says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar imo tahoira, for Reish Lakish Amar imo tamea. The Gemara asks, just like we had a question before from the Tanaic source on the Shita that holds Tahor, why couldn't that same question or the same source be brought in as a question? And in this case, as far as the names are concerned, it would be Reish Lakish asking on Rabbi Yochanan. The Loisvei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan Meha, couldn't Reish Lakish have raised a question from the source of Hamapelis Yad Chatucha that we had just a few lines up in a frame that was raised before by Rabbi Yochanan on Reish Lakish? Here Reish Lakish could raise it as a question on Rabbi Yochanan. Answer, Mishum Deshoni Lei, because Rabbi Yochanan in this case, when we're dealing with a ponov, what's called ponov tuchos, Rabbi Yochanan would answer, the answer would be known, that Hainu Guf Otum, Hainu Misha Ponov Tuchos, that Guf Otum and Ponov Tuchos are the same level of lack of formation. B'nei Rabbi Chia Nofik Lekaraisa, the sons of Rabbi Chia went out to the fields to see what was needed. Osu Lekamei Da'avuhon, they came back from their excursion. Omar Lahem, they came to their father, and he said to them, Kulumbo Maisili Edchem, as when you were out on your excursion, did any shilas, any halachic issues come to you? Omru Lo, well, they said, Ponav Tuchos Baliadena Vatimanua, an issue concerning a woman who gave birth to an offspring who had Ponav Tuchos came to us, and we declared the woman to be Temea, as considering her a Yoledis. Omar Lohem, so Reb Chia answered, Tzu v'tiaru mashitimesem, go back and declare Tohar that which you declared Tomei. Maida taichu l'chumra, what was your intent by declaring her Tomea? You thought that you were going to be giving or imposing a restriction, imposing Yemei Tumas Leida. Chumra de'asa de kulahu. This is a chumra that leads to a kula. It leads to a leniency or an extreme leniency. De ke'avisu lo yemei tohar, by declaring the woman as a yoledes, you're also saying that in addition to the 7 or 14 days of tuma, she'll have a period of 33 or 66 days of tara, whereby any dam she sees during that time will be considered tahor. That's a kula. So sometimes you have to think about how you paskin. If you think you're being machmir, sometimes that chumra actually has as its outgrowth a leniency. The next case, itmar hamapeles bria sheyesh lo shnei gavim v'sheish shidrois. This is featured under our Nosei topping, where we wrote this very point, that a woman miscarried a bria, a creature that has two backs, two spines. This issue, we'll call it the double-backed offspring, is something that preoccupies the Gemara till Omid Beis. Itmar, Hamapelas Brio Shieshlo Shnei Gavim Ushnei Shidrois. A woman miscarried a creature that has two backs and two spines. Omar Rav, Beisha, if this miscarriage takes place with a woman, so Eino Vlad, it's not considered a birth, and hence she will not be experiencing the rules of Tumas Leda. Bevehemo, also Rachila. If you had slaughtered an animal with a proper kosher slaughtering and you found inside of it a creature looking like this, you would not be allowed to eat it. And all the more so if such a creature was born from a kosher variety animal, you would not be able to eat that offspring. Ushmuel Omar, Beisha Vlad, in the case of a woman who gives birth to a situation like this of Shnei Gavim Shei Shidrois, it would be considered a birth, and Ubebehemo Mutar Bachila. And the case of an animal that's slaughtered and you found this inside of it, you would be allowed to eat it. Bemai Komifligi, what's the basis of this machlikus? Bidirav Chonin Bar Abo. Now, you'll notice that we have a long answer marking for this piece of Gemara. The tuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicates the length of this answer. Di Omar Rav Chonin Bar Abo, Hashisua. The Torah speaks about a creature or a thing called Shisua, which one is not allowed to eat. This is found in Devarim Perek Yud Dalet. So the word Hashisua, Rav Chonin says, Bria Shiesh Lo Shnei Gavim Ushnei Shidrois. It is a thing, a creature, that has two backs and two spines. Rav Omar, Bria Be'al Molesa. There isn't a separate creature called Shisua. That doesn't exist. V'chi Agmerei Rachmona L'Moshe. That which the Kodesh Baruch the Almighty taught Moshe about the prohibition of Shisua, B'me'e Imo Agmerei. The Torah was saying that if you find this in a kosher variety animal, if you find this described embryo or fetus, that you will not be allowed to eat it. Ushmul Omar, Bria Be'almo Isa. Shmuel says that the Torah that forbade a Shisua is referring to a creature that's walking around, that's created, that looks like that, a separate creature. V'chi Agmei Rachmona L'Moshe, Be'alma Agmerei, and when the Torah forbade eating Shisua, it's saying don't eat that creature. Avo B'mei Imo, but if you find a mutated embryo that looks like that, Sharia, that would be allowed. As we go on in the Gemara, you will see triangles that appear in two different directions. The first triangle will be a kasha on Rav and Shmuel. The second triangle, which you see is inverted, is actually a kushya on Shmuel. Hence we... Since the nature of the questions are different, so we change the direction of the triangles. So the first question, Eisvei Rav Simi Bar Chio L'Rav. Rabbi Chanino Ben Antignus Oimer. This source is in the context of the rules of Bechor, firstborn male animals. So Rabbi Chanino says, Kol Shiesh Lo Shnei Gavin Ushnei Shidrois, Posel la'avoda. If such a creature is a firstborn, you would not be allowed to work with it, indicating that it is to be treated with the rules of firstborn, and it is forbidden to work with a firstborn male animal. Now we would infer from this that as a if it weren't a firstborn. For if it were a hedyot, a non-firstborn, it's mashma that it would be mutter to work with it. So we see alma dechayi. We see that such a thing continues to live. Let us glance at the Rashi. Rab Chanina ben Atignas bevechor koi v'komar dehave mum. Rab Chanina is saying that a double back creature would constitute a blemish. Umidaposale lekorban, and from the fact that we are rendering it unfit to be brought as a sacrifice, michlal delehedyot shori, we would infer from here that if it were for non-sacrificial purposes, this would be okay. V'kashya l'travaihu, this would be a challenge to both Rav and Shmuel. Deha afilu yotze lavir ho'ilom shori, here we are implying that if it were born, it would be allowed. That even if it's born, it would be allowed. In other words, it would be born, it would live, you would slaughter it, and it would be allowed. Ushmuel lo shori, when Shmuel gave a heter for me'e imo, he was referring only to the case elo b'me'e imo, only if you found this inside a pregnant kosher variety animal that you just slaughtered. So then Shmuel said it would be allowed. So, with that in mind, even according to Shmuel, had it been born, it would not be allowed. Here we see that it would be allowed. So Rashi goes on to say, "V'hoda akshi Rav Simi tfei l'Rav mi d'Shmuel." The fact that Rav Simi, in this triangled presentation, focuses his question on Rav more than Shmuel, mishum degabei havekoi, he was by him. Ubar brei havi. In fact, he was the grandson of Rav. Kid Omar ver kolabosu Rav equal lebe Rav Simi bar chio bar brei. The Gemara in Chulin tells us this point that Rav Simi was the grandson of Rav. So therefore, the question was focused by the grandson to the grandfather, but it's a question that could be asked against Shmuel as well. Omar le, so Rav says back, he responds, Simi at. Simiat is, for our purposes, an expression where Rav retorts to him in this way, to his grandson. Sheshedrosoi akumo, the case that Rav Chanina was speaking about was an animal whose back was very bent. That is a case where it could continue living. However, if it were a true double-backed creature, then it wouldn't be able to live. Before we go further, let's glance at the Rashi that's found under the Gemara text, Sheshidrosa Akumo. Hod Rabbi Chanina, the Mashim B'Chayi, Rabbi Chanina's teaching, which implied that such a creature could live, lav shnei gavim mamish. It's not talking about an animal that has two backs to it. Ela sheshedrosei akuma v'nirin kishnayim. It's so bent over, it looks like it has two backs. We continue with the Gemara. Meisvei. We'll see that this is a question focused on Shmuel. Yesh be'ubrin shehein asurin. There are offsprings that are yotzul avir oilam, that are born, that are osur, and they're osur as nevela. Ben arbo ledako, if a thing that is born after 4 months of pregnancy when you're dealing with sheep and goats. Daka is literally the light animals, but that's a reference to sheep and goats. Ben shmoina lagasa, or an 8 month pregnancy of a cow, large animal. Heimenu ulamata osur, from that point and less months of pregnancy would be forbidden. Yotza mi shiyeshlo shnei gavin ushnei shidros. My yotza. What does the term yotza mean? Yotza to the exclusion of. What does it refer to? What does it mean here? lav yotze michlal ubrin? Is it not coming to exclude it from the rule that we said here, shafilu b'mei imon asurin, as that even found inside, as yet unborn, they would, the double back thing would be usur. So we have a Tanaic source that speaks about fetuses that are born and are forbidden, but they, had you found them inside their mothers, they would have been allowed. For example, if you slaughtered a sheep and found inside it a pregnancy of 4 months, you would be allowed to eat it because it had not been born yet. It's part of the mother. Likewise, an 8-month pregnancy of a cow offspring, which we should have pointed out earlier, but the standard gestation period of a sheep is 5 months, and of a cow, 9 months. So the source was telling us that if these preemies are born, so they would not be allowed to be slaughtered and eaten. And then the end of the source says, this is to the exception or the exclusion of a double back creature. And we're trying to infer or draw as a conclusion, are we not saying that with regard to double back creature, even if you found it inside the mother that was slaughtered, it would be usur? That is a direct challenge to Shmuel's point of view. The Gemara responds, Rav mitaretz l'tamei, Shmuel mitaretz l'tamei. Rav and Shmuel, in looking at this source, will re-explain it, each one according to their own positions. Rav mitaretz l'tamei. Rav presents this source in light of his approach. And it reads as follows, and we've treated it with a frame to give you the feeling of a Tanaic source. So this is Rav's reading of that Tanaic source, and you'll notice on Chof Dalet Amud Beis, at the top of Amud Beis, Shmuel's presentation. So in the meantime, Rav mitaretz l'tamei, ben arbo l'dako, a 4-month pregnancy of a small animal, and ben shmoina l'gasa, an 8-month pregnancy of a large animal, like a cow, heimenu ulamata osur, from that point and less, and a shorter pregnancy period, would be osur, bamed v'mamurim, and when do we say that it's forbidden? Kishyosav yor oilam, when these fetuses are born, when they emerge through a birth, a premature birth. Avo b'mei imoi shori. However, if you slaughtered a mother and found these preemies, or as yet unfinished embryos inside their mothers, they would be allowed. They are considered mutter as part of the animal that you just slaughtered. Yotza mi sheyesh lo shnei gavim shnei shedrois, to the exclusion of a double-back, double-spined creature, dafilu b'mei imoy nami osur. If you found this inside of a slaughtered kosher animal, you would not be allowed to eat it. Ushmuel, we're now at the top of Omid Beis. Ushmuel mitaretz l'tamei. Shmuel will tell us, in looking at this source, that the Reisha and Seifa are speaking about things that emerged, that were born, but found inside a slaughtered mother, they will be mutter, in line with Shmuel's original psak. The source reads, Ben arbo ledako, ben shmoinu legasa, heimenu ulamata osur. From that age and less, it's forbidden. This is so when they did not finish their entire pregnancy period. But if they finish their entire pregnancy period, they would be allowed. Yotza, to the exclusion of mi sheyesh lo shnei gavim shnei shedrois, the afagav de kolu lo chadoshav, in the case of the double back, double spined creature, even if it had a complete pregnancy period, gestation period, im yotzel avir oilom osur, if it's born, it will be forbidden. B'mei imoy shori, if you found it inside the mother, it would be allowed as part of the mother that was just slaughtered. So according to Shmuel, as we said earlier, the Reisha and Sefer were talking about animals that were born. So Shmuel is telling us that a born, incomplete pregnancy animal is not allowed. However, if you slaughtered and found inside a mother any of these cases, they would be allowed as part of the mother. Tani Tana Kamei D'Rav, a Tanaic source was stated in front of Rav, which read as follows: Hamapelis brias guf she'enu chotuch ubrias roish she'enu chotuch, a miscarriage of a body that is not formed with its, in other words, its limbs are not formed, or a head that doesn't have its formed limbs, appendages. Yachalte imoy tamei aleido, would the mother be considered Tumea in the event that she gives birth to these things? Talmud Lomar, Isha ki Sazria v'yolda Zohar v'chulei, uva'ayoyim hashmini yimoil v'chulei. And we learn from this, Mishiroi lebris shmoina, when is a woman Tumea leda, when she gives birth to something that could have been, if it were a male, could have been subjected to the circumcision, Yatsu Elu, She'enam Ruyin, Libris Shmoina, to the exclusion of these unformed bodies or heads. These are types of offspring that wouldn't have made it, wouldn't have lived even 8 days. So from this limud, we see that she would not be Tamea Leda. Omar Le Rav, the Siyem Bohochi, Rav says to the one who is stating this Tanaic source, he says, continue and finish it off as follows. V'shiyeshlo shnei gavin u'shnei shidrois. In addition to the examples of guf sheinu chotuch and roish sheinu chotuch, add this example, that which has two backs and two spines, that the mother would not be tamea leda. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, Sovar lemevet uvdo kavosei d'Shmuel. Rabbi Yirmiyah thought, or had in mind, to paskin, to rule, regarding a double-backed creature that a woman gave birth to, that the mother would be, in fact, she would be Tamei Aleda. Amalei Rav Huna, my daitoch l'chumra. Rav Huna says to Rabbi Yirmiyah, what are you trying to do by saying that she's considered Tamei Aleda? Are you trying to impose a stringency by saying she is a yoledes chumradasi lidei kula hu? It's a stringency that has a built-in leniency to it, where you're going, where you're being extremely, extremely lenient. How is that? The koyavis law demei tohar, because following the period of tumas leda, there's an extensive period of tahara, where any blood that woman would see would not be declared tomei. So that it's, as we mentioned earlier, it's not so simple to issue a ruling that sounds like you're trying to be machmir, trying to exercise caution and stringency, when those kinds of ruling could actually lead to extreme leniency, as would the case be over here. Ovid miha kavosei derav. Follow, however, in other words, you should rule like Rav, the kaimelon hilchus karav beisuri, because we hold that we are to paskin like Rav in matters of iser veheter, matters as opposed to financial matters, which we call mominous, ritual matters are called iser or iser veheter. So we have a rule that the halacha follows Rav in isuri, bein lekula, bein lechumra, whether it results in a leniency or it results in a stringency. So that by following Rav's approach, as we saw above, Rav said to the Tana, state along with those things that are not that don't lead to Tumas Leda, state the double back thing. So paskin like Rav, or rule like Rav, and the woman won't have tumas leida, and therefore we will avoid having her experience the taharos, the yamei tohar as well. And as we said before, the yamei tohar would have been an extreme kula. So the eitza here that is given at the end is paskin like Rav, because you will thereby be conforming to the rules of Psak, where we paskin like Rav over Shmuel in these kinds of cases. Omar Rova, Hare Omru. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading called the Nosei, and we've written E Behema Yoledes Gam Lishiva. Do animals experience 7-month pregnancies? We know that by people, there is such a thing as a 7-month pregnancy. What about by animals? Omar Rova, Hare Omru. It has been said, Isha Yoledes Letisha, Yoledes Leshiva. Women give birth after 9 months of pregnancy and sometimes after 7 months of pregnancy. Behemogasa Yoledes Letisha. A cow, large type animal, like a cow, has a 9-month pregnancy. Yoledes Leshiva Lo Yolda. Does it give birth to a normal offspring after 7 months or not? In other words, is a 7-month pregnancy and subsequent birth considered a kosher-type cow that one could slaughter and eat? Or is it not? Or is it just considered a premature birth and hence would not be allowed? Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Toshma. So let's conclude from the following. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating where this source was originally seen by lining up the arrow here and that which you see above. The source says, Heimenu ulamata osur. The source above mentioned an 8-month pregnancy for a cow as being an offspring that would be forbidden. And it also says from that point and less, lamata meaning down or less than, is forbidden. So my lav agaso, is it not so that that teaching, heimenu ulamata, as seen in that source above, is referring to a cow as well? And that would answer our question that that cows don't experience 7-month pregnancies. And if a cow is born after 7 months, it's considered a nafel and something that would not be allowed. Loi adaka, the expression in the source of heimenu lamata, that meaning that number and less, is referring to the light animal like the sheep or goat that ordinarily has a 5-month pregnancy. The source above taught about a 4-month pregnancy being something forbidden if it's born, and less than that as well, but it's not referring to the large type animals. The Gemara asks, Hi Mai, how can you say that? E Amris Bishlamo Agaso, if you say that Heimenu Ulamato is going on the large animal, like the cow, Itzdrich, I need that information. I need to be told that. Because Salgadeita Chamino, I would have thought otherwise. I would have thought, Hoyul Ubiisho Chai, since a 7-month pregnancy by a person is something that lives. Bivehema Nami Chai, a 7-month pregnancy by a cow, is also something that lives. Komash Malundalo Chai, therefore the source, by saying Heimenu Lamato, would be telling us that a 7-month pregnancy birth by a cow does not live. Elo yamris adako itmar, but if you're saying that that whole teaching of Heimenu Lamata is focused on a small type animal, pshita, that's obvious. In other words, the source would be saying that 4-month and less, like a 3-month pregnancy, would be forbidden by a sheep. Well, that's obvious. Pshita, bas flosi yarche mikochai, would a 3-month pregnancy possibly be able to live? So it would be superfluous to teach us something that's so obvious. The Gemara in response says, Itzrich, no, I need to be taught about these small type animals. Salka Daita Chamina, I would have thought that Kol Botzer Treyarchi Chai, that as a rule, two months less than a standard pregnancy is something that does live. Komash Malon, that it does not. So that the source above doesn't necessarily deal with the behemoth gaso question, but rather it could be focused on the behemoth dako. And if you'll ask that heimenu lumato is something that is obvious, we can tell you no, it's not something that's obvious. We would have thought without this source that any time you have 2 months pregnancy that's less than the regular, it is also something that could live. So the source is needed to tell us about the behemoth dako 3 month pregnancy as something that would not be kosher, not be allowed. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Hamapelis demus lilis, imoi tameo leida. The word lilis is actually a name referring to a demon, which is this demon has a woman form and has wings on it, and a woman who miscarries a child that looks like Lilis. Rav Yehuda tells us in the name of Shmuel that the woman is Tameo Leido. She's considered having the rules of childbirth with its accompanying rules of Tuma. Vlad, who is considered a birth, Elo Sheyesh Lo Knofayim, only that it happens to have wings. Tanyo Nami Hochi, and we have a Tanaic source that bears this out. Omer Rabbi Yosi, Maisa B'Simuni, Simuni is a name of a place, B'Achas Shepilu D'mus Lilis, concerning a woman that miscarried a child having the form of Lilis. U'bo Maisa L'fnei Chachomim, the incident came to the attention of the rabbis, V'Omru V'ladhu, and they ruled that it's considered a birth, Elo Sheyesh Lo Knofayim. And only that, it also happens to have wings. Hamapeles D'mus Nochosh, what about a case of a woman who miscarries an offspring that has the form of a snake? Chanino ben Ochiv shel Rabbi Yeshua. Chanino, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, because he's called the son of Rabbi Yeshua's brother, hence Rabbi Yeshua is his uncle. So Chanino ruled imoi tamea leida, that the giving birth to a serpent form results in tumas leida. Holach Rav Yosef v'siper dvorim lifnei Rabbi Gamliel. Rav Yosef went and informed Rabbi Gamliel of this. Sholach loy Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel sent an instruction to Rabbi Yeshua, saying as follows: Hanheg ben ochicha ubo. I want you to come with your nephew. Bahalichoson yotseso kalas chanino likrosoi. On their way to Rabbi Gamliel, so Chanino's daughter-in-law came to greet them. And you'll notice that this girl or this woman is in effect a woman married to Rabbi Yeshua's brother's grandson. You can see we have a little chart to illustrate the family relations over here on the inside margin. Omra lo, so the daughter-in-law of Chanino came and asked, Rebbe, Hamapelis kimin nochosh mahu? And bear in mind that we have we have Rabbi Yeshua coming, walking along with his nephew, and the nephew's daughter-in-law asking them, what is the din of a woman who miscarries a serpent form? Omar lo, so Rabbi Yeshua responds and says, imoi tahoira. The woman is tahora. Omra lo, so the daughter-in-law of Chanino says, Rabbi Yeshua, v'lo mishimcha omra li chamosi. In your name, my mother-in-law told me, and now her mother-in-law would be the wife of Chanina, she told me, Imo Tamea. that such a woman is Tamea. The Omar law, Rabbi Yeshua said, Me'ezatam, why would a woman who gives birth to a snake be considered Tamea? Why would that be considered a birth? So the answer, Hoyl, V'galgal eno agol kishel adam, since it has an eye which is round or spherical like that of a person. Mitoch tvorel nizkar, from her words, Rabbi Yeshua recounted, Sholach lo l'Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua then sent to Rabbi Gamliel, Mipi hoira chanina, that based on what I had said, chanina ruled what he ruled, namely that the mother is Tamea Leda. In other words, from this story, you see that sometime in the past, Rabbi Yeshua had taught his nephew the sugya of the topic of a woman who miscarries a snake form, and he must have said that the woman is Tamea Leda, and gave as a reason because a snake and a person have this in common, namely their eyes they have in common. Later in time, Rabbi Yeshua had ruled that the woman is Tahora. However, when it came to his attention, this incident, because of Hanina's nephew's daughter-in-law coming with her question, and the give and take we just learned about, he recounted that in the more distant past, he had himself taught that the woman is Tamea Leda, and recounted all of this thanks to the reason that was given, namely the similarity of the eyes. Omar Abaye Shmamina, we learn from here, Tzurban Rabbona, Diomar Milsa, a Talmud Chacham, a Tzurban Rabbona is an expression referring to a Talmud Chacham who says something, who issues a ruling or a teaching, Lema Bo Taima, he should give a reason behind his ruling, Dechi Midkaru Lei, because when he is reminded of it, Midkar, it will joggle his own memory and he will remember what he said. In other words, by simply saying black or white, that is not a sufficient. That's not sufficient for causing someone to remember what they said in the past. But by offering a reason as well, that will help one remember what they themselves had said. The Mishnah, Hamapelis Shvir, Mole Mayim, Mole Dam, Mole Ginunim. A woman who miscarries a sack of skin that contains water or blood or some multicolored liquids, she does not consider herself, or is not to, she's not to consider herself as a yoledis. It's not considered a vlad. Vimhoyam rukam, if, however, limbs were formed in this sack of skin, teishev lezochul in a keva, she must observe the rules of childbirth of a male and female, which in effect would mean that she will observe the yemei tuma of a nekeva, and she will only have, which is a 14-day period, and from 14 till day 40, which is the yemei tohar that we give for a woman who experienced birth in the case of a male birth. So she'll have a maximum number of tuma days and she'll be granted only the minimum number of tahara days. Hamapelis sandal oshilyo teshev lazocho ulenekeva. A woman who miscarries a sandal form, which is a child or an embryo that's flattened, or a shilya, an afterbirth, comes forth from her, she also observes these rules of Zohar and the Keva. Bishlama dam umayim lo klum hi. We can understand that a sack of skin that comes out of a woman filled with either blood or water, that's nothing, it's a non-birth. Ella genunim, but something filled with a sack of skin filled with multicolored matter in it. Nehu shem of vladhu v'nimuach. Why not consider that that was a real child, but it dissolved, and hence she should be considered a woman having given birth with the accompanying days of tuma and tara. Omar Abaye. Abaye says a sack of skin with multicolored liquid in it, to consider that as being a dissolved fetus is kind of far-fetched. He says, Kamo yayin chai shoshes imoi shel ze shinimuach ubra bezoch mea. How much undiluted, which is potent, undiluted wine, was very strong. How much yayin chai she must have drunk in order to dissolve her fetus, which is an exaggeration, meaning that it's not to be assumed to be a fetus. Rava Omar, Mole Tanan. Rava says, by looking at the reading of the Mishnah, you see it says Mole Genunim. The imiso dismuchi ismach, if it were a case of a dissolved embryo, michser chaser, it wouldn't have been a sack full, a sack of skin that's full. It would have been not full if it were really a dissolved embryo. Rav Ado Bar Avo Omar, a third approach, he says, Givonim Tnan. It's multicolored. The im isa dismuchi ismach, if it were to be thought of as a dissolved embryo, kula pechad gavna havakoy, it would have been a uniform color and not a multicolored sack, multicolored contents of the sack. So you can see with our markings that we had three answers to why the mole genunim sack of skin is not to be considered a birth. Tanya, notice we have a series of triangles that appear. They feature Abba Shaul as someone who was involved with burying the dead. So that in the upcoming sources, you'll notice that is a point that's featured. Tanya, Abba Shaul Omer, Koiver Mesim Hoisi. I was engaged in the burial of the dead. V'hoisi mistakel ba'atzomoy shel mesim. And I would notice the bones of the dead. Hashoisi yayin chai atzmos of srufim. One who would practice or would commonly drink undiluted wine. So his bones appeared to be burnt. Mozug, if he drank diluted wine. So atzmos of schuyin. Mozug in this context would be overly diluted. Schuyin, the Rashi has a couple of pshatim on what schuyin means. One pshat is shchurim, means black. Another pshat is without marrow, and hence very dry. Karoi atzmoisov mishuchin. If he was a drinker of wine, in a normally diluted fashion, so his bones would be mishuchin, meaning having the proper or the expected freshness level to them. Also, he who would drink more than he ate, so atzmosov srufin, he would have bones that appeared to be burnt. Achiloso meruba mishtiyoso atzmosov schuyin. Karoi atzmosov mishuchin, the same breakdown that we just saw. Tanya, Abashol Omer, v'itema Reb Yochanan. In this case, there's a possibility that the teaching is coming from Rabbi Yochanan as opposed to Abba Shaul. So you have Abba Shaul, some say Rabbi Yochanan reported, I was a burier of the dead. Pam achas ratzdi achar tzvi. Once I was engaged in a chase after a deer. V'nichnasti b'kulis shalmeis. And we're going to be learning something here that is in all likelihood a remez to something else, a hint to something on a different level of understanding. But for our purposes, we're going to stick to the translation, bearing in mind that it's something spectacular. So he says he was chasing a deer, and he entered a thigh bone. Kulis is the etzim hayerech, yerech being the thigh. So he entered a thigh bone, shel mace, of some corpse, the thigh bone of some deceased. V'ratz di achrov sholosh parsos. I continued this chase for a period, for a distance of three parsa. Three parsa is roughly four, is three times 4 kilometers, because each parsa has 4 mil. A mil is measured by 2,000 amos, and amo, generally speaking, being associated with half a meter, so it's 1,000 meters each mil. So the run of three parsa translates into 12 kilometers. Utsvi lo higati, I didn't reach the deer. The kulis lo kolsa, and after running this distance of 12 kilometers, I was still in the thigh bone. A very long bone, wouldn't you say? Kishechazarti lachorai, when I turned back, or I retraced my steps, omruli, they told me, shel oig melech haboshen hoisa, I was in the thigh bone of Og, that's a name of the king of Boshan, known from the Torah as a giant. Tanya, Abba Shaul, Omer, Kover Mesim Hoisi, I was a burier of the dead. Pam Achas Niftecha Me'ora Tachti, once a cave opened up under me. Vomadati Begalgal Enu Shalmeis Ad Chotmi, and I found myself standing in the eye of some deceased up till my nose. In other words, the eye is a watery type substance, and I was standing in the eye of this deceased up till my chotem, up to my nose. Kishechazarti lachorai, when I got out of there, Omru, they told me, Ayin shel Avshalom hoisa, that this was the eye of Avshalom. Avshalom was the son of David HaMelech. There is a great deal of representation over here, which would be better understood if one is familiar with the story of Avshalom in the Tanakh and Sefer Shmuel, and would appreciate what all of this represents. But for our purposes, we are going to continue in the Gemara. V'shema tomar, you might say that Abba Shaul nanas have, Abba Shaul is a dwarf, so that this description of his standing in the eye of Avshalom till his nose does not depict such something that's so massive. Well, In fact, Abba Shaul was not a dwarf. Abba Shaul, and here you'll notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a nun that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line indicating a long point. Abba Shaul, Oruch Bedoro Hava. He was the tallest man of his generation. Rabbi Tarfon, Magil Iksefo, Rabbi Tarfon reached his shoulder. Rabbi Tarfon, Oruch Bedoro Hava. Rabbi Tarfon, in turn, was the tallest of his generation. Rabbi Meir Magi Alexefo, and Rabbi Meir reached his shoulder. Rabbi Meir Oruch Bedoro Have, for Rabbi Magi Alexefo. Rabbi Oruch Bedoro Have, Rabbi Chia Magi Alexefo. Rabbi Chia Oruch Bedoro Have, for Rav Magi Alexefo. as you can see, we're continuing generation after generation of the leading figures of each subsequent generation, and we continue Rav Oruch Bedoro Have, Rav Yehuda Magia Liksefoi, Rav Yehuda Oruch Bedoro Have, Rav Yehuda was the tallest of his generation. The Adadailo Magia Liksefo. Now, Adadailo was Adailo is someone who's a servant or serves. In this case, Ado was the man's name, and he served the Rabbonan. So Adadailo reached the shoulder of Rav Yehuda. Parshtavina de Pobedisa Koi Leila Adadailo Ad Palge. Parshtavina, Rashi says, is the name of a person. Tosfos has alternative pshatim to this, but for our purposes, we'll say it's the name of a person, of Parshtavina of Pobedisa, that's the name of a town. Koi le ladadaila ad palge. He reached the midsection of, you know, half the height of Adadaila. V'kule alma koi le Parshtavina Pobedisa ad charze. And all other people reached Parshtavina's waist. All of this is brought to show how tall Abba Shaul was, and he was standing till his nose in that particular eye. Bear in mind, as we mentioned already today, and possibly even a few times, this is all a remez, a hint to something that goes much beyond the translation that we are presenting. However, with that in mind, we will pause today, so that with that we conclude our shiur for today.